I was younger, but I knew what was going on, and so did a lot of my friends. Yeah, I remember drawing Hillary signs on election night in my math class. So that was very fun. Remember that fondly. Hello, my name is Helen Acker, and this is my podcast that discusses political and social issues. But before we get farther into this episode, I want to quickly correct last time where we talked about Breonna Taylor. For the majority of times that I said her name like Breonna. Well, it's usually pronounced Breonna. I think that I heard it like that once and thought that that was the correct way, and whoever says it differently is wrong, so I just ran with that. I did look it up, and it does seem that both pronunciations can be correct, but I think the more popular version is definitely Breonna. So, I'm sorry. I want to honor her memory as much as I can, and mispronouncing her name is definitely not the way to do that. Okay, so today's podcast is called Will You Shut Up, Man? said by Joe Biden on Tuesday. And while this title you could say is a cheat because it's not technically from political history, I think that there's no doubt that it will definitely become a part of political history. Don't get me wrong, I don't think that anyone should say, "Will you shut up, man," at a normal debate, but say it with me, this was not a normal debate. Why I named this episode this was not to necessarily illustrate the frustration the candidates felt with each other, but the frustration the American people felt. You know, I actually had a plan going into this. I was thinking, yeah, we'll talk about, you know, the policies they discussed and how they're going to handle those and all the fun normal debate stuff. But, that plan got changed a little. So my new plan is to discuss our presidential leaders being good role models, addressing the comments they made, and the public's response, and a little fact-checking. So, well, let's do that. This debate was weird. You know, I want to mention something that Jake Tapper said that, like, totally got to me. I watched the debate and then was watching a little bit of CNN's coverage of it at the end. And Jake Tapper said that, let me pull up the quote because it was just, you know, pretty sad. Jake Tapper says, quote, "We'll talk about who won the debate, who lost the debate. One thing for sure, the American people lost," end quote. And just how he said that was just very, very true. And yeah, and so that was hard to deal with. Anyways, I'm going to start off first with some personal stories. So I have a little sister, and the discussion in my household on Tuesday was if she could watch the debate with us. Well, the common consensus was that she couldn't because, well, she knows who Trump is, she knows he's our president, but did we really want her to see two people yelling at each other? It's actually even said that she may have nightmares. So I think that that's the problem I have, is that young kids, you know, can't look up to our president or even the other guy running for president. And so, you know, while a lot of Republicans admire that Trump says whatever's on his mind, I think that I think that it's not good for our kids. Yeah, and I don't even know how else to say that. And while, you know, that's not the only thing we should look for in a president, I think that it definitely should be a big deal. We want a president who is a good role model for our kids. Because if you ask yourself, you know, like, would I want my kid to grow up and be Donald Trump? For liberals, they probably would say, you know, bad words, no, you know, heck no, probably would say that. But for Republicans, it depends. You know, you may want your kid to have aspects, you know, of Trump and to be like that, but do we really want them to grow up like Trump, who says terrible things about women and illegal immigrants? And so I know I'm probably losing some people on the conservative side, but I do think it's a question to ask ourselves. And, you know, while you can disagree, it makes sense, but it is just something to ask ourselves. The same with Biden, you know. This brings me on to the kind of next thing I want to talk about with personal stories is in 2016, I was younger, but I knew what was going on. And so did a lot of my friends. Yeah, I remember drawing Hillary signs on election night in my math class. So that was very fun. Remember that fondly. But that was kind of the first debate that I grew up with and saw. And what's funny about that is they were so intense. You know, they were not this debate. They were not Tuesday's debate, that's for sure. But they definitely were different. They were definitely more attacking of each other. They were definitely more, it felt like whatever side you were on, it was more, the stakes were high. It felt like for whatever side you were on, you know, it was very polarizing. And when I recently looked back at the Romney-Obama debates, I was like, wait, the candidates actually both had good points and weren't personally attacking each other? what world am I living in? I know that sounds like I'm over exaggerating, but it was actually pretty crazy to see that, and to see that, you know, debates were a thing that were factual and not just personal attacking comments. And so for my generation to kind of grow up with that is a little bit sad. And you can blame that on Biden, you can blame that on Trump, you can blame that on Hillary, you can blame that on whoever, but it is something to ask yourself of, A, who do we, you know, do we want a president who we can allow our kids to watch on television, or do we not care? You know, is there other things? So it's just something to think about. My ramble reminded me that this that this podcast is a little bit more loose. It's not as scripted as the Breonna Taylor ones and others in the future. Why I didn't make this one as scripted is because, well, you know, I feel like it needed to resemble the debate a little bit. Just kind of needed to be all over the place. No, I'm kidding. Just because I think this debate needs a little bit more discussion. You know, I do talk about the fact checking of it and stuff, but I think that there's real things we need to discuss, like the role models of our presidents. And do we want our presidents to be good role models for our kids? Now it's time to address their comments. So let's just dive in. Trump not condemning white supremacy.
But are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups, sure, and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland?
Sure,
are you
I'm
prepared
willing to
specifically?
That,
do it.
Well,
I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right wing.
So what are you saying?
I'm willing to do anything. I want to see peace.
Then do it, sir.
Say it.
Do you want to call them? What do you want to call them? Give me a name.
White supremacists and
right. Who would you like me to condemn?
White supremacists and right.
Proud Boys. Stand back and stand by, but I'll tell you what, somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left, because this is not a right-wing problem.
Real quick, this is the problem I have. I want listeners that are on all sides of the political spectrum, so I don't want to just start by bashing the president in fear that I will lose those Trump supporters. But I'm also not going to sacrifice what I believe in or the facts. And by the way, the facts don't include all Republicans are racist, and the facts don't say that all Democrats are violent protesters. So please stick with me, because my goal here isn't to bash Trump. My goal, at least in this segment, is to point out why what he said was not okay, and to ask the question, why couldn't he just say in easy four words, "I condemn white supremacy"? No matter which way you spin it, it doesn't work. Even if, like he said in a questionnaire at the White House, that he didn't know who the Proud Boys were, but he knew whatever group Biden or Wallace named would be associated with white supremacy. So why not just say, "I condemn white supremacy"? And even excluding that, he still inspired the group, the Proud Boys, to use what he said, "stand down and stand by," as their new slogan. And they kind of freaked out about the whole thing, even gaining new members. So if you're the president, you have an exponential responsibility to, well, not inspire white supremacists. Also, this isn't the first time President Trump has made some questionable comments about white supremacy. And not just said, since the beginning of Trump's campaign, he's talked about, you know, how terrible illegal immigrants are and really divided the country. And people have, you know, white supremacists have clinged on to that and went to a bunch of his rallies. Like, if you're the person that a bunch of white supremacists like, if you're the candidate that white supremacists are supporting, you gotta kind of just think about that. You gotta be extra careful with what you say. So in conclusion, I don't think that it's hard to condemn white supremacy. And if we have a president who thinks that, we need to do some serious thinking before November. Now let's address Biden's comments. So Biden definitely said some questionable things as well, like clown and shut up, which I think that told his supporters, or even hesitant supporters, that he was just as frustrated with Trump as they were. And even though I didn't like what he said, and, you know, he also interrupted just like Trump did, even though I think it was like 50 times less, Biden was not the best there either, not the best role model either. So that was just an overview look into what the candidates said that were frankly shocking, but we'll talk more about that soon with the fact checking. First, let's ask the question, how did the public respond? I really wanted to hear what my generation thought about it all, so let's look into some of their comments. Some felt bad for Chris Wallace, one of my friends saying he was more like a couples therapist, and man oh man do I agree. My other friend joked about how she thought that it was an SNL skit, and so on and so forth. But I have actually had some pretty serious conversations with my friends about the two candidates and all of that. So one of my friends said that he likes Biden more now. A lot of my friends actually either didn't have changing opinions on the candidates, or they liked Biden a smidge more. For example, I heard one person say that both didn't have good performances. Another Gen Z said that both Trump and Biden were childish, but Trump more than Biden. And then another conversation in my group chat was all about the talking over each other. So there was that. But then my friend said, quote, "I think Biden is too old and an idiot, and Trump won't stop making stuff up. We need better candidates," end quote, which I totally agree with. And that got a response from another friend who said, quote, "Yeah, I don't know, but I would be mad too, because the narrator couldn't shut Trump up, so someone had to." And my whole group chat laughed at that one. So it may seem weird or unnecessary to talk about what my age group said about the debate, but I think that we forget that a younger generation watches these things too and has some stuff to say. We may respond with a bunch of vines and memes, even I have a couple up my sleeve, but we are the future voters of America, and I think now more than ever, people should listen to us, because now more than ever, we're listening to you. Okay, now it's fact-checking time. So I got a lot of these off of BBC and CBS because I thought that both of them were pretty, not biased. So hopefully you agree with that. So Biden said 100 million people in the US have pre-existing conditions. The BBC says that there's really no definite answer to this. They say, quote, "According to U.S. government's Department of Health and Human Services, between 50 and 129 million non-elderly Americans have some type of pre-existing health conditions. Other organizations have different estimates. The Center of American Progress believes it is higher at 135 million people under the age of 65. So while Biden is not technically super wrong, you know, he could have been probably more specific. Biden also says that manufacturing went into a hole before coronavirus, but that's not right according to figures. It does say, though, this BBC says that the pandemic did have an impact on this sector. As of August, there were 2,700 fewer manufacturing jobs in the U.S. than when Trump took office in 2017. But prior to the outbreak, President Trump has added almost 500,000 manufacturing jobs during his first 3 years in office. So while it did go down in COVID, it was pretty high in 2017 and before. This is my favorite one. I think this is CNN's favorite one too, is that when Trump says the Portland sheriff just came out today and said, "I support President Trump." But Mike Reese, the Portland sheriff, did not say that. He said on Twitter, quote, "In tonight's presidential debate, the president said the Portland sheriff supports him. As the Multnomah County sheriff, I've never supported Donald Trump and will never support him." So that's kind of funny. Yeah. Trump also said Biden once called African Americans super predators. So while Biden didn't actually say that that African Americans were super predators, he did say, quote, "predators on our streets," end quote. And that was a bill that, quote, was later criticized for increasing mass incarceration, end quote. And like we've talked about in the last episode, that disproportionately affects African Americans. So I think that while he might not have said, you know, African Americans were super predators, I wouldn't doubt if that's what he meant. And so that was something that was disappointing to me. Trump said that Hunter Biden got thrown out of the military. He was dishonorably discharged for cocaine use. And that's not necessarily correct. He was discharged from the Navy, but that was after failing a drug test. And not in a dishonorably way. What do you say? How do you say that? Also, Trump says crime has increased 100 to 200% in New York, and that's misleading. Okay, so according to the ABC, the New York Police Department released citywide crime statistics on September 3rd, 2020 for the month of August. End quote. They say that there's been 0.7% increase in total crime between August 2019 and August 2020. So that's not a lot. Shooting incidents in New York City have increased 165.9% between August 19 and August 2020. So that's definitely up there. But then it says that murders have increased 47% compared to August 2019. And quote, "year to date through August 31st, there have been an 87% increase in citywide shooting incidents." So it is misleading. It's just a glossing over it. So then Biden said that Trump's own former spokesperson said riots and chaos and violence help his cause. And this is true. Kellyanne Conway says, quote, "I was thinking of a very specific small businesswoman. She got her store ready all over again for post-COVID lockdown lifting and then had to do it all over again after she was vandalized and looted. And this just can't stand. I also noted that there was a quote today from a restaurateur in Wisconsin saying, 'Are you protesters trying to get Donald Trump reelected?' He knows full stop, and I guess Mayor Pete knows full stop, that the more chaos and anarchy and vandalism and violence reigns, the better it is for the very clear choice on who's best on public safety and law and order. So those were all of the fact-checking. I mean, there's way more that we could do, but those are just to clear up some things if you were confused in the debate like I was, honestly. It was like, this is all over the place. I don't even know what they're saying, but I probably shouldn't admit that. But anyways, there are some other claims that you made, like Trump said the children can't contract COVID, which is just misleading because while they're not the most vulnerable to it, they can spread it onto others. So I would suggest to not let your kids loose at a water park. Hunter Biden was also tossed around because of the Russia scandal, and while there were false claims intertwined on both sides, it's not a false scandal, so make what you will of that. Okay, so that's the podcast episode. I know it's a little shorter and probably a little bit more all over the place, but thank you so much for listening. This was one of the craziest debates I've seen, and I know I'm younger, but a lot of, 40-year-olds are saying the same things, so yeah, I think that we have very important decisions to make election day, and sometimes I really wish that I could just vote. For everyone who's eligible to vote but doesn't want to, I wish that I could just vote for them. So let's, try and get that bill passed, you guys. you can vote for someone if they don't want to vote and they're eligible, even if you're not eligible. There you go. Okay, thank you so much for listening. Please stay safe and stay kind, and we'll see you next time. I don't know when that next time is going to be, but probably next week. So have a great Friday, and we'll see you some other time.